when you're sharing a ghost story with someone, it's oftentimes important to understand where that other individual stands on the topic of ghosts. That will almost immediately determine how receptive they're going to be to the experience that you're about to share. It's one thing to do that as an adult. It's a totally other thing to do it as a child. It's like the bar almost gets lower as you become older. When you're an adult and you're sharing a ghost story, and if you're talking to another adult who understands and believes in ghosts, you're likely to get much more of an understanding and a belief of your experience. However, when you're a child and trying to recount a ghost story while you are a child, that bar, that goalpost, seems much further out there. It's like, okay, yeah, even though I believe in ghosts, I don't think I believe you just because you're a kid. It's almost like the test of time will tell if that story is real. If you're still telling that story once you've reached the age of 24, then it's completely legit. But if you're telling it to me at 14, I don't know. And if you're even younger, it becomes less and less believable. And I suppose it's understandable. Kids make shit up. They do. I make shit up all the time, too. So it is understandable, but it is also very troubling if you're that child that is just seeking some sort of validation or seeking some sort of understanding for an experience that you are not able to understand. You're not going to understand it when you're an adult. You're not going to understand it at any point in time as to what exactly happened. And it's confusing enough as a child to just get life, more or less the afterlife. On today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, we have some great ghost stories for you. A family vacation to an abandoned gold mine. Kids experience the ghosts, the dead of that gold mine. Folks who died in very untimely ways. And of course, they don't get believed, but they're recounting it all these years later. Also, a neighbor woman, did she put a curse on a neighboring little girl for her own nefarious intent? We'll hear that story. And spirits attached to an artifact of unknown origin comes back to life in a home, terrifying a woman who's home alone at night. It's just some creepy ones. From Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. This is EPP Bonus Episode number 269. Stay with us. Antiques. A lot of us collect them. A lot of us like to go and look for them and put them around our home. Step beyond an antique would be an artifact. That's something that I would classify in almost a different category. Antiques, to a certain extent, yes, are artifacts of another time. But then artifacts, to me, draw up thoughts of like Indiana Jones and things of that nature. Things that may be a step beyond the antique store. Almost things that belong in a museum. Something that wouldn't necessarily be in an antique store next to the old Fisher-Price cash register. Artifacts, to me, can sometimes hold more energy. Maybe they've seen more. Maybe they've been around more. Maybe there's more mystery to their origins. I think that's when it comes to antiques or artifacts. That's the biggest question. What is its origin story? What has this object been around? What's it been a part of? Who has had it? So many questions. And it seems in more cases than not, an artifact is more difficult to identify its origin story. You can make up a story almost. You can pull out something from an antique store and go, oh, okay, this end table over here. This was probably in a grandma's house. This was probably around for many Christmases and probably saw this and that. When you get an artifact, you don't necessarily know what exactly it's seen. Maybe because sometimes artifacts are so old, we can't relate to what the world was like. What was everyday life like beyond what we've read about in a book or read about online? And that makes it more mysterious, at least to me. When you have an artifact in your home that you don't know its origin story, you don't know exactly where it came from, what ended up going on, and suddenly things start going awry in your home, what do you do? Especially when your significant other's job is collecting artifacts. It's not exactly a, oh, honey, you shouldn't have brought that one home. We're like, oh, honey, I guess if we'd like to continue having a roof over our head and eating, I guess we have to have these things here. In our next story, that's exactly what happens. Couple, home alone, or at least one of them is home alone, while the one who collects the artifacts is out working. And the artifacts, magic, its ability, its power, I don't know what the right verbiage would be, its energy, or whatever is connected to the artifact, that energy takes on a life of its own in the house. Take a listen. I was lying in my second story bedroom watching TV, waiting for sleep to come, when I heard a loud crash downstairs. It was a Saturday night, July 3rd, and many in the neighborhood were taking advantage of the warm summer evening to start their 4th of July celebration early. I heard a hint of these premature fireworks before bed and decided to give both my dogs a good dose of Benadryl to help them through what has always been a nerve-wracking experience for them. In fact, I too get nervous around fireworks and generally leave town with the dogs during the July 4th holiday. However, this time, my husband was out of town until the afternoon of July 4th, at which point we had plans to pack up and take refuge at a mountain campground where fireworks are not allowed. So there I am lying in bed on high alert, my two dogs both out cold, evidence that the calming effect of the medication is working for them. I'm listening for the crashing sound to repeat itself so I can confirm what I had just heard. I knew the crash came from the living room area, which is directly beneath the bedroom. As I'm gathering my thoughts, I began to devise a plan to investigate. Now, let me preface this by saying that I am a total chicken. I've had paranormal experiences all my life during the day and night. Because of these experiences and the fear they cause, I find it helpful to fall asleep with the TV on, and I also make sure to have quick access to a light in the case I wake during the night. In fact, in this very bedroom not too long ago, a grandmother came in the night, seeming to watch over me. These visits occurred regularly while my mother was ill. I'd wake up with the feeling that someone was watching me. And after seeing her sitting there, I would turn on the TV, cuddle under my blankets, and fall back asleep near my husband. After the passing of my mother, the visits from the grandmother ceased. Even with these past paranormal experiences, my first thought still went to a fear that someone had broken into my house. I laid quietly contemplating my options. I was listening for any additional noises or voices, but nothing. The dogs did not seem upset, although that was no comfort considering their current condition. At this point, I know I need to go investigate. It had been a warm day, so it was possible a window could have been left open. It is at this time I wish I had some semblance toward self-defense. I was not even sure I could scream properly as I'm mentally combing through my room for my best source of defense. My eyes rest on a boomerang. So let me explain further. My husband has a degree in archaeology, which was a passion handed down from his maternal grandfather and ultimately his mother. Therefore, we have many artifacts from around the globe, most with a description and identification of its source. As such, a boomerang hanging on our bedroom wall is by no means out of place. I decide this boomerang is my perfect weapon. It may or may not harm a person. Any intruder could be hit with a sense of shock trying to figure out what I was wielding at them. In the case that it gets into their hands, they'd likely be unaware and unsure of how to use it themselves. Decision made. With my weapon of choice, I begin my descent into the main floor, listening and watching for any signs of another living being. Who knows? Could be a raccoon, right? After making it downstairs and seeing no immediate signs of a break-in or other life forms, I start to look for the source of the crash. Did I really hear that noise? Was I already in some sort of state of sleep and it was really something outside, maybe a firecracker? But it seemed too real. I could see it in my mind's eye. Just to be safe, I went through the entire main floor checking and double-checking that all the doors and windows were secure. Nothing open, nothing broken. Was it my imagination? With that thought, I make a trek back into my room, replace the boomerang and climb back under the covers in the hopes that my mind can quiet and I can get some rest. It was at that moment that the lights went out. Not just the lights, but all the electricity was off. I immediately pull back the bedroom curtains, fully expecting the neighborhood to be dark. You can probably imagine my terror when I see the entire neighborhood still lit. While I sit in the house by myself in complete darkness, this is my fear. This is my nightmare. I scramble for my flashlight and immediately the electricity returns. Holy crap, what just happened? Is someone messing with me? Now, our house was built in 1907, so the breaker box is outside the house, just off the back deck. This means anyone with some effort and intent could have come into our yard and hit the breaker box to scare me. But why? It is at this point I decide I need to retrieve my boomerang and make another trip to the house and do another check. I had not gone through the basement during the last run. The stairs leading to the basement are what horror films are made of. The stairs have an open back, another space where anyone could stand under and grab a person's ankle, tumbling them down into a concrete floor. It's not exactly an ideal place to have a search when expecting to run into trouble. I creep down the stairs, fighting every urge to run and scream, and to my relief, I find the door that leads to the outside of the basement still closed and secured. Unfortunately, there continue to be no answers regarding any of these strange events that have just occurred, but at least the bad stuff, like people breaking in, has been ruled out. I return upstairs and turn the TV on again. It is always the TV that helps me settle down to sleep and my savior when I'm awoken at night by the strange feeling or sometimes a strange being in the room. So as I'm waiting for the TV to return to its full glory of light and sound, many minutes were passing and my agitations were not improving. It's at this moment that I hear voices coming from the main floor. Yep. Real voices, having a real conversation, not outside. It's coming from right in my own home. My heart sank into my stomach. If anyone had been there to see me, I would guess they would have described my state as being white, like someone who looks like they've just seen a ghost. That's going to wrap up the preview portion of Real Ghost Stories Online. To hear the rest of this story and our other stories in this awesome EPP bonus episode, sign up to become an EPP, an extra podcast person, on our website at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. We'll be talking about a family vacation to an abandoned gold mine. Leaves children with a haunting story that they're going to tell for the rest of their lives. Also, did a neighbor woman put a curse on a neighboring girl for her own nefarious intent? Those stories and more in the rest of this EPP bonus episode. Again, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to hear the full thing. Check it out. And thanks for the support.